Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone, in fact, needs to be loved. We are creatures of love. Wouldn't you agree? We live on love. We thrive when we are loved, and we wither when we are unloved or not loved. We give one another love, and we receive love from others too. Join me thinking how we are doing in this business of loving one another. Why do we see so many people in our society clamoring for love? Why are there so many people, children and adults alike, deprived of love? They do not receive love, therefore they have nothing to give, or they do not give love to others, so they don't receive anything back. Everyone wants to be loved, and we need love. So if I ask you, how would you love someone? Let's say, I love you. How would you communicate that? Your love message to the recipient. Most of us say to me, just say it. Well, have you ever wondered that whatever you have said does not always register in the person's heart in the same way you mean? In other words, you need to say the love message in the ways that the recipient would surely understand it. We need to communicate in the same language between the giver and the recipient. And here's an example. If I speak to you, 사랑해요, 사랑해요, 사랑해요. None of you understood what I was saying, right? Even though I said this something in Korean 100 times until my face becomes blue, you still won't be able to understand what I am saying because it's the Korean language. By the way, it means I love you in Korean. Because it's not your language of communication here. You have no idea what I'm talking about. However, if I say, I love you in plain English, everyone here would get it right away. Because simply it's your language. It registers immediately in your heart. And the key is here, the means of communication, isn't it? The means to convey our love to each other. And I would call them love languages. Now that's the topic I'm going to talk about today, the love languages we use daily. And before I go on, I must give a proper credit to the person who coined this terminology, love languages. His name is Gary Chapman, and he came up with his theory quite some time ago, at least 20 years ago, that there are 5 different love languages people use daily. About 3 years ago, I and my wife and I were working together in our church library, and we were listening to a very old cassette tape, sermon tape, by Gary Chapman, under the same title, 5 Love Languages. Now the sermon, I must say, was very entertaining and informational, that I applied what I learned from his sermon, and that improved my understanding and practice of love languages in my marriage relationship. So the sermon this morning is heavily based upon the tape that I heard, and I pray that my message would help every one of you to build up your relationships with spouses and children, if you have. And also, I believe that if you practice these love languages well, it will improve the relationships with your friends and neighbors and even coworkers. Now, before I dig deeper, let me repeat what I mean by love languages. Love languages are the means of communication to say, I love you, to each other. They are languages that the recipients would understand in the ways that the givers mean, and they are languages that would instantly register our love messages in the hearts of the recipients. Now, I must note here that the Chapman, Gary Chapman, mostly focuses on the emotional aspect of love and how-tos thereof. In other words, there are more important spiritual aspects such as God's love poured out into our hearts, a love does no wrong to a neighbor, a love one another as Christ has loved, and even 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the choir sang, love is patient, love is kind. He's not talking about those things, and neither will I this morning. And we'll strictly focus on emotional side of love. Now, this is how it goes with the emotional aspect of love. Each individual has his or her emotional tank. Imagine emotional tank that is filled up with love. If someone loves you by saying, "We are wonderful," then it increases the level of love in your tank. If someone spends some time, quality time with you, you feel loved, and therefore the level of love in your tank rises up as well. Out of that reservoir, if you will, you are able to give love to someone else in your life. In these languages of love, people communicate with each other and build up each other in love and even help each other feel loved. When these languages are practiced faithfully by couples in marriage, for example, especially in a troubled one, and their marriages can be healed and even thrive. Now, as I said, Chapman identifies five love languages, and I encourage you at this point to follow along my sermon outline printed in your bulletin, right below that, the anthem lyrics, five love languages. I put three of them already, and if you follow along my sermon, you could fill out the other two. Now, the first language of love, he says, is words of affirmation. I'm sure most of you already know. Here are some examples of words of affirmation you can think of. I love you. You look great today. You did a fantastic job. You're the best and you are beautiful. You're awesome. You're wonderful. The list goes on. Now, many of us are fluent in this language, love language. They're born with this talent of telling others how good they are. However, some of us are not so good at this, so we say nothing to our loved ones. And some of us are even worse, so poor on this language that we end up saying hurtful things to our children and spouses. There was one father who would say to his son, the son was growing in his family, and the father would say to the son, "You no good bum, you're worthless." You know what? This became a permanent scar in the son's emotions for the rest of his life. I don't know how much you're familiar with the novel and the movie, The Lord of the Rings. I watched the movie at least two or three times with my family. And there is one story about, it is called Gondor. It's a city nation, it's a mighty fortress, and there was no king, so there was another person in control and charge of this, reigning the people there, and they call it steward. And this steward had two sons. The first son's name is Boromir, and second one was Faramir. Both of them are mighty warriors, you know. But the thing is that the father practiced the sort of favoritism. Whatever the first son, the eldest son did, the father was so proud. "Oh, look, everybody, what my son did." When it comes down to the second son, although he was a mighty warrior himself, the father was zip. He didn't say a thing. In fact, he said some hurtful things to the son, and the son always yearned for his father's one single word of affirmation. Did he get it? No. True story. You know, the George W. Bush, when he was on the campaign trail in 1999, after one night, the political rally, he was driving home late with his wife Laura sitting next to him. So just their home, and still the car was running in front of the garage, his garage. Mr. Bush asked his wife, Laura, "What do you think of my speech tonight?" I mean, I do the same thing. Ask my wife, what do you think of my sermon today? Well, Laura was honest, and she didn't obviously give him the highest mark. Mr. Bush was so upset that he drove his truck into the garage wall. You didn't know this, right?
No.
No. True story. That's the words of affirmation, love language. The second love language, you can write down if you will, gift giving. Yes, clearly this is a language some people are very fond of and familiar with. And there are those folks who are good at this, they are masters of remembering special days and events in your life. How many of you know these individuals? I know some. And they would never fail to give you flowers and cards and phone calls and presents. I know a couple. One husband would save up money for 5 years to buy a diamond ring for his wife on their every fifth anniversary. I'm not giving any hint to the husband, okay? This is a true story. And the wife was really pleased and appreciated this practice, and even after the husband passed away many years ago, she still talks about it. Imagine, let's say they were engaged, you know, married in 30 years, the wife got 6 different diamond rings. Now imagine this, someone with this kind of language, and if you don't give gifts to her or him, and guess how the person would feel about the relationship? Love deprived and love missing and even unloved. Number 3, quality time. Now, I don't have to tell you about the importance of spending time together and out of sight and out of mind. As simple as that. When you spend time with your loved ones, be sure to give undivided attention to each other. Undivided attention. I knew a couple married in their 40s, married over 20-some years, both worked around almost every single night. You know, both came home around 6 and 7 and whatnot, and they were too tired to cook anything. So they just stashed the TV dinners in their freezer, and within 15 minutes, the dinner is ready, and they're set together at the dining table, and problem is, no communication. Nothing to talk about. So you know what they did? They invited TV. They put a TV on the dining table, and as they were eating, they're watching evening news. You say, what's wrong with that? Terribly wrong, I must say. Because TV killed whatever conversation, communication they could do. So if you're doing this, Pastor Choi, I've been doing this. Get rid of the TV from the dining table. Period. Take this word very seriously. Nowadays, young couples communicate with smartphones, even in their beds. I've seen this. Honey, are you awake? Texting the other person. No, I'm wide. You know, yes, I am. Drop the phones and start talking to each other. You know, most of us raised our kids, and I don't see anyone, you know, raising the younger ones at home, but it is very important for the parents to spend quality time with their children too. True story, a son who was a star quarterback in his high school football team. He's so popular among the girls and whatnot. He had only one wish though. I wish my dad showed up only once in my game. Until he graduated, guess what? The father was too busy with his work. He never showed up even one single time. So if you give someone advice about the relationship between the child and the father and this, you know, the mother and whatever, if the child wants to play a game with you, do not refuse. I know you are tired and you have so many other things to do, but drop everything and play with them. Because one thing is for sure, you will fill up the child's emotional tank and the child will remember it for a very, very long time. The next one is physical touch. Now this one includes, you know, sex and hugs and holding hands. And some of us love this language, especially like hugs, for example. And others, I know, avoid hugs by all means because physical touch is not their thing. But did you know there is a sure merit to this physical touch? Even Jesus, our Lord, gave a special blessing to the children brought by their own parents, you see? He was a busy man. Jesus was so busy and surrounded by thousands of people all the time. He could have easily said, "Hey folks, I'm tired, okay? I have no time for these children. And here's my blessing." He could have done it, you know, without even touching any single one of them. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus invited each and every child and he laid his hand on each one of them and blessed them. There's a special thing going on. And I always, you know, just advise the parents, if they have a kid, laying their hands on the hands of the child. Because when you do and pray for them, the child receives the certain just security that you cannot give or get anywhere else. Security imposed on the child, bestowed on the child. And between the couples, here's another beautiful story I read about it some 40 years ago and I still remember. Her name is Miura Ayako. She was a Japanese novelist and a Christian author, and she died about 15 years ago. Anyway, right after the World War II, in her 20s, she was still single and she contracted tuberculosis, TB. That attacked her spine, known as the caries of the spine or POTT disease, P-O-T-T. And the closest example is that if you think of the tooth cavity, you know how the cavity eats up the calcium, the bone part, and eats up and destroys the whole thing. It happened the same thing to the vertebrae instead of the tooth. So that's the disease she was suffering from. And because of that the medical condition, she was confined to bed for 13 years, seven of them in a body cast that restricted all movement. Now, during this time, she also met a wonderful husband, a wonderful Christian man, Miura Mitsuyo. So they married. In her books, she wrote about her marriage relationship with her husband, basically devoid of all sexual relationships, period. And holding her hand with her husband, she said, sufficed her need of love. There's something about the physical touch. The last language of love he lists is as acts of service. Simply put, this means, talk is cheap, show me your action. I'm living with one of them. Now, husband could say to her, his wife, a million times, "I love you, I love you, I love you." Wife replies, "If you truly love me, help me with house chores. Here's the vacuum cleaner." Husband, watch out. If your wife left on this, you better pay attention to this one. The Bible puts this way, "Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." You didn't know that, right? It also puts this way in James, the book of James. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that?" Case study. There was a couple. You know, husband was the pastor, and they were married for 17 years. And their love languages were different. The husband's language was words of affirmation. Wife's was gifts. For their entire marriage of 17 years, each one would practice and speak to each other in their own language rather than the other's language. So they always felt something was missing here. And they felt like our marriage is unfulfilled. For instance, to make her husband happy, the wife would buy a gift after gift on every single special occasion. birthdays, anniversaries, and Christmas and Thanksgiving, you name it. He always thought that those gifts are a waste of money. One day, the wife brought a nice tie. And the husband said, "Honey, I have a dozen ties and half of them I don't even wear. Why did you bring another one?" What about the other side? The husband thought that his wife needed words of affirmation. So he would tell her every day how much she meant to him, how precious and beautiful she was. All the words of affirmation in the world without buying one single gift. Now this practice went on for 17 years, and until one day they both discovered that their language differences. So they started communicating this time in their spouse's language rather than in their own. For example, the wife now tells her husband how great the sermon was on Sundays. I'm giving you the clue, folks. The husband begins to get something special for his wife. And their marriage has improved, and they are still married. Now, for some curious-minded folks here, I wonder what kind of love language Pastor Choi. Oh, you have to understand, person could have, you know, used more than one language here too, right? If you ask me, my primary language of love is words of affirmation. I don't know, it came with the pastor's, you know, vocation or what. Anyway, that's mine. And what about my wife's? You know, my wife's is acts of service. Results are very important. Words are cheap. You know, talk is cheap. And I even thought about my own. I have only one child, and Sarah, and her love language is quality time. She cherishes every moment we spend together. And she still talks about, she turned 25, she still talks about all the bedtime stories, you folks. I told her almost 20-some years ago. She still remembers them, and also remembers the times that we watched the movie together. See, all different love languages. Now remember this. These love languages work and work well only if when each of us practices them out of a sincere and selfless heart. You say, "I'm going to love this individual," you see. However, when we ill-practiced, insisted, "This is love language, don't you get it?" It'll turn out as another expression of selfish desires. So this week, this is the action point for all of us. I want you to take some time to pray and to even analyze, like a better term, your loved one's complaints. I mean, you've been hearing your wife's or your husband's, whatever it is, over the years. Take time to pray about it. Second, identify their love languages based upon five different things. And the third, start loving them in their love languages so that you may fill up their emotional tanks. And before long, you will see the love coming back to you. And you will see the positive changes in your relationships. Let's bow our heads and pray.